Blog Talk Radio.
Reason signifies we're live here on Blog Talk Radio for Jaguar Zone. I am your host, Jeremy the Impact York. We've got our special guest lined up just here in a few short seconds. Want to welcome everybody. Thanks to Impact Media for allowing us to come on and talk about the Jaguars. Like I said, we do have a special guest. I see him right there. I'm going to actually give him the proper introduction that I always forget to do. So without further ado, I want to bring on, not only is he the hardest working man in sports radio and media, he is also the voice of the Texas Revolution, who we also talk about a lot here on Impact Media, and he happens to be a Jaguars fan. So right now I want to bring on Mr. Sonny Clark.
I got the opportunity to put my picture up once, and I look at the Jaguars, and I got to ask myself the question. Will I be able to put the picture up again, my friend?
Yeah, it's I'm not going to say it's looking bleak again already, but the Jaguars have had a interesting three showings so far.
Yeah, especially after week one against the Panthers. Now, granted, the Panthers are 3-0. You can't take that away, but guess what? The Rowlett Eagles were 2-0 at one point, okay? And the team that, you know, yes, I'm talking high school. Basically, what I'm saying is that you don't necessarily, you can't take a look at a team and their record. You got to take a look at the team themselves and what they're doing out on the football field. So when you look at the Panthers, yeah, I like to see the 3-0. Panther fans want to see it, but at the same time, is this the team? Is the Panthers the team? And that was a loss that I actually picked the Jaguars to win. I normally don't pick the Jaguars to win football games. So I went out on the limb, and they laid the egg in week one, and that was a horrible situation. But then they go out and really, really get beat up against the Patriots. The victory against the Dolphins are a horrible football team. When
yes, they are.
Looking at the preseason, man, there were a little bit of hope in the Dolphins, and right now they're not showing it.
Yeah, as far as the Dolphins, you know, we were supposed to see the emergence of Ryan Tannehill to that next step. Well, supposedly that next step must be a lot smaller than we thought.
And Ryan Tannehill has got to be able to take control of his offense. And let's be honest, I don't know if he's not getting the support he needs from Gus Bradley. I'm not sure where he is and where his development is. But when you look at this guy, Ryan, you got Gus Bradley on the other side, Ryan Tannehill. You should be able to beat these Jaguars. And you know. I don't know. I looked at that Dolphin game and Gus Bradley, you know, I don't know if you watched the post game. He said all the right things after the victory. The defense played very well against Ryan Tannehill, but I mean, the Patriots are the best, and I've said it before and I'll say it again. The Patriots are the best team in the NFL. You can go out and live on Deflategate and live in your own little world, but you got the best quarterback in the world, and he just toasted the Jaguars this past weekend. It was horrible.
Oh, he did, and I got crossed up earlier. We started talking Dolphins, and of course, Tannehill would be the Dolphins quarterback I was talking about. We were obviously talking about the development of Blake Bortles or the lack of development. But since you brought it up, it was a topic I was going to kind of hit towards the end, but it's kind of grew legs here lately, and usually in the NFL, it's not really serious until it starts to grow some legs. Do you think Gus Bradley's on the hot seat?
I think that just all depends upon the front office and what's going on up there. Okay, and I say that because you look at a front office in some of the other teams in the NFL, and you, I'll go ahead and I'll shoot it up to Marvin Lewis up in Cincinnati. This is a guy that figures out a way to save his job each and every year. Now, I don't know. I don't know what the situation is, you know, as far as Gus Bradley is concerned, what that relationship. I've never dug into that. But here's one thing that I know. Okay, I'm not feeling very confident as him as a head coach. You know, everybody was, oh, you got to give the guy time. You got to give that guy time. But the Jaguars are scoring 9 points a game. There's no offense. Now, whether that comes from the offensive coordinator, but still, it's all got to fall up on the shoulders of the coach. And then that relationship between coach and general manager. What that relationship is, what was the final thing that took them over the edge to say, okay, Gus Bradley is going to be our guy. And whatever it is, is, you know, the whatever took them over the edge is what's going to keep them there as long. So I don't know. The Jaguars are so bad. Who cares who's coaching them right now? So
yeah,
I don't know if anybody can help them. But as far as development, if you don't get someone in there quick to get Blake Bortles, you know, maybe set to what he's going to expect week in, week out in the NFL. He's going to have a long career, and what I mean long career, he's going to have a long career with body injuries and just not playing well, but it will end up being a short career because I don't know how long it will last. I mean, all you got to do is take a look at their last quarterback, and he was the next best thing, and guess what? That didn't work out very well either.
Yeah, and now that Blaine Gabbert, who you referenced there, has been given a little bit of time to get his feet wet over, he's actually not a bad backup for Colin Kaepernick. He was just kind of rushed into it like Bortles was here. But I've taken a lot of crap, especially on this show, and a lot of flack from especially Jacksonville media, how I've said Blake Bortles is not your franchise guy. He is possibly, at his peak, the bridge to your next guy, hopefully.
Well, I think he has the ability to be that guy. But like you said, I think they threw guys to the wolves. It's one thing to be, and I was talking about this as far as Peyton Manning is concerned. You throw a Peyton Manning in there, and you have to dedicate your team, your franchise, your business, of flushing the season down the toilet. Okay, which is what happened in Indianapolis, okay,
right,
before Peyton Manning went out and became the superstar. But the difference between a Peyton Manning and a Blake Bortles is that we've seen it in Peyton Manning. Even during the games I think they only won one game in that season. But you've seen the flashes of what Peyton Manning can be. Right now, you're just not seeing it. You're not there. Now, I don't know if that is the scheme. I'm not sure if that's coaching. I'm not sure if that's the coach not having enough trust. But really, you got a couple of guys that can go deep. He's not getting the ball deep. He's just not performing. And sooner or later, they have to get the right coaching staff in there to get this guy acclimated with the NFL game, or he is going to be gone fairly quickly, and I think the coach goes along with him. Here's the thing. Gus Bradley will only go as far as Blake Bortles will take him, and I don't know if it's going to last long for him.
Yeah, unfortunately, I do believe they are joined at the hip. And, as much as I like Chad Henne as a person, he happened to go to one of my favorite colleges in the world. But, I mean, obviously Chad Henne wasn't going to get you there either. But,
to me, they
put in Bortles way too early, like we're saying. And even though he has a lot of weapons, I mean, both the Allens, Robinson and Hurns, are phenomenal. If Marquise Lee can come back and be half what he was for Johnny Manziel at A&M, then he's going to be a good guy. They got T.J. Yeldon. Finally, they have a number one back in the backfield. They have a good offensive line. When some guys come off the injured list, they'll be even better. It's like all the pieces are there, at least on offense. So maybe it is the scheme, or maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just some kind of bad combination of the wrong people in the wrong places.
Well, they're only averaging 16.3 game points a game. That's not going to get it done in the NFL.
No.
It's just not. And here's just another one. You know, yeah, if you average 226 yards a game, do the multiplication and everything else, that puts you about 3,800, you know, somewhere in that area. Wonderful. But you know what? If it doesn't generate into W's, it don't matter. And then you got to go back and ask how much of those 226 yards are trash, garbage, you know, at the end of the game where teams know they're up and they're not going to lose the game. You know, so giving up, you know, trash yards, that's why stats, you can't look at stats and, you know, really live with them, because I think that 226 is what they're averaging per game, passing the game, really is about 175, and that's not going to get it done on the NFL. They're averaging 318 yards a game, okay? Take away from that, I really honestly think you need to drop that down to 250 because of garbage yards, and especially the Patriots, for crying out loud. They didn't care.
Right.
They, you know, but drop down to one of the stats that I think are important, first downs.
Yep.
The Jaguars got 52 first downs in three football games. Now, you know, that's not enough. That's not enough when your opponents, I'm looking at this stat, the opponents have 69 first downs. They're up on you about 19 first downs in the game. So, yeah, I do like the fact, though, they're running the ball, at least trying to make a dedication to run the football. I do like that, because if they're going to set up the pass, they got to at least somehow show that they're going to run it. And going, all you got to do is take a look at the Arizona Cardinals a couple years back, okay? They're a horrible running football team, but they had a dedication to do it. So if the Jaguars continually run the football, I think that will be good for them, because you don't know who's going to, and it will keep the defense off kilter.
Yeah, it definitely will, and I'm glad you mentioned garbage time points and yardage, because
yeah.
if you look back, the New England Patriots are, I believe, top two, if not the top team. When they're up big, they have no problem letting you run all day long or pass all day long. They're just like, we'll give you all the yards you want, but you're not scoring, so go ahead and get your stats up.
Yeah, they start playing real NFL defense when the other team gets near the red zone. And near the red zone's the 30, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not near the red zone. Once you start getting to the 30, that's when the defense actually shows up and plays,
yep.
You know, each and every down. But until then, the Patriots aren't interested in you, and especially if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay, the Jacksonville Jaguars haven't shown that they can beat any team or win on a consistent basis in how many years, Jeremy? It you know, the Jaguars haven't won more than five games in the last 4 years. So when the Patriots, you know, have them come to town, or they're going to roll and play them, they're not worried about the Jacksonville. No one's worried about the Jacksonville Jaguar. The only thing that I think they really got going on them, and if they don't watch it, they'll lose them. If they lose Polinsky, that's going to be a huge loss for them, whether it's injury or just losing them to a different team, because how long will he stay? I think he just signed a contract, though, so he might be there for a while. So you better start building around the guy so you guys can – but they got to start building being a football team that can play. And not only that, look at this. I mean, they're in a division that right now is playing bad football. You got Indianapolis next week. That's a division game. They're not playing great. Andrew Luck kind of, though, flipped the switch in the fourth quarter this past week. But you got the Texans, who are a horrible football team, and the Tennessee Titans are not a good football team either. They're in a division where they can make a difference if they decide to start doing it or get all the right pieces in the right place and get, you know, the chemistry going to where they can play and get the victories.
Right. The way I signed off of last week's show was, I mean, I can say the similar thing this week, but it's almost painful when you look at the records. I said last week, I was like, hey, all the way up till at least Monday morning, you can wake up as a Jaguars fan and know that you're in first place. Well, you're still in first place, but it's because all four teams are tied at one win and two losses, which is just
yes.
The worst in the league. Even the NFC South is not that bad.
Right, exactly. And the NFC South, you know, that division has gone to garbage really, really quick. But, you know, I found that interesting. It's a good point what you said. They're sitting there. You got to be happy about where you are before last week's game. I mean, really right. 1-1. I mean, you're right. You're sitting there. But sooner or later, Andrew Luck is going to figure it out. And guess where he's going to figure it out? He's going to figure it out in division games against the teams that he has to win the game on. And frankly, I'm going to be honest with you, Jeremy, they don't have a chance against the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, I see him losing by at least 14, if not more, especially because what I saw in Andrew Luck in the fourth quarter on Sunday, that right there, that just spells disaster for the Jaguars.
Oh, it absolutely does. I'm going to try to pull up the point spread right now here in a minute. But, yeah, it's like Andrew Luck stopped being the crazy thing he is in that commercial, has hair for a shirt. Andrew Luck, boring Andrew Luck, whatever it is, and he realized, oh yeah, I'm Andrew Luck, arguably, possibly one of the best quarterbacks for a long time.
Yes, and that's something that they're going to have to deal with as far as that. Listen, Indianapolis scored 21 points in that fourth quarter, okay, to come back and win that game. It was a switch. I mean, it was like all of a sudden, there was a problem, and he had to figure out how to fix it. So he walked over to the wall, flipped the switch, and went, oh, yeah, that's how you play this game.
Exactly. And as I just pulled it up, Indianapolis is a 8-point favorite, and the over-under is set at a combined 47 points. So as I like to do, if you're in a place where you can put money down on the game, and unfortunately you're going to go against your Jaguars here if you do.
Absolutely.
I would give the eight
and take the over, because I think Andrew Luck might score 47 himself.
I was going to say the exact same thing. Unfortunately, like you're saying, I absolutely agree. If the Jaguars can't put it together, then losing to New England 51-17 may be the smallest margin of defeat you've gotten this year.
Exactly. I'm a Jaguar fan, but I'm a realist, okay? I'm a realist on what I see. And really, I like the fact, I'll go back to say, I love the fact that this team grabbed up Blake Bortles. I'm glad, okay? But if you're going to bring in Blake Bortles and you're going to throw him to the Wolves, give him something. The offense, by the way, the offensive line is garbage. I don't know, and I can't even tell you a name on the offensive line. Just can't do it. But I'm going to tell you, I've seen it enough to realize that it's garbage, and it don't matter who's on there. Whoever's there is not doing what they got to do in order to protect the guy. And you've got to give these rookie quarterbacks, you got to give them that extra half second. Because if you don't, they're not going to go through their progresses right. And I heard Ron Jaworski say this about 5 years ago, and it's true. When you got a rookie quarterback just jumping into the NFL, realizing that the NFL is so much faster than the college game where they came out, you, as an offensive line, have got to dedicate yourself to give your quarterback an extra half a second. And if you don't dedicate it, they will not have success.
I would absolutely agree. That's to me, that's where it starts and ends for a lot of teams. And
yes,
whether you're playing Madden football or whether you're actually coaching in the NFL or even the NCAA or the Champions Indoor League, if you don't have a good offensive line, it doesn't matter who your quarterback is. He's never going to have a chance.
Yep. So, it's really interesting to see. By the way, just jumping over to the Tennessee Titans, I'm going to tell you, I'm actually fairly impressed with Mariota. I really am. I mean, you look at what that guy did in week number one, going up against Jameis Winston, which was wonderful. You got the opportunity to find out who's going to be the better quarterback in the NFL, and boom, there you go. You saw it. But I like what they're doing, and frankly, as much, and I love Ken Whisenhunt, and Ken Whisenhunt might lose his job next year if they don't do well. But that's where Mariota needed to be. He needed to be right there with Ken Whisenhunt. That was a loss, last week. And then on that final play, I think it was Fowler, who I think he's probably going to be done for a while. That was an ugly, ugly landing on the leg for him. I don't know if you saw it, but they took him off very slowly. So, but I think Mariota is going to. I think he's going to outplay Bortles, and that. But then your second year, the reason why it's so important, you give NFL coaches a full 17-game season with film on you and forget it. Give me the NFL coaches over your rookie quarterback on how well they did in their first year. Those coaches will figure out how, and they'll figure out the tendencies, and that's the reason why the sophomore slump is so big. It's because the NFL coaches know how to coach against them.
Absolutely, and just a few quick notes. Obviously, like we said, it was New England 51, Jacksonville 17. But each week I always come up with three keys to victory. And I'm going to tell you what my three keys that if Jacksonville would have done these things, we'll kind of check them off if they actually did them. Kind of early spoiler, they didn't do either of the three. And we'll get to the ones for the game coming up later. But my ones for beating New England. You have to pressure Brady because he's not a scrambler. If you can make him start running around, then that's how you beat Brady. That's how everybody else has done it over the years. That's how the Giants won two Super Bowls off of him. So obviously they're 0-1 there. I told them to win the special teams battle. Yeah, they might as well not even showed up to half the special team stuff. It was awful.
It was.
And then number three was establish the run early. It didn't matter because New England went up so quickly that they didn't have time to establish the run.
Yeah, didn't they score like on their first three drives? I mean, that really pops a bubble regardless. I mean, you got a team that pops off at 21-0 on you. I think that's what the score was, 21-0 at one point.
It was. It might have been 17. I feel like they kicked a field goal in there somewhere.
Maybe that's what it was. But either way, you can't let a football team score on you, regardless if they're getting two touchdowns and a field goal. Man, you're starting behind the eight ball. Like you say, this is not the indoor football league. 17-0, that turns around in 2 or 3 minutes. In the NFL, that is three possessions out on the football field, on the NFL football field. It's starting behind the eight ball way too early.
Absolutely. And if I'm not mistaken, New England did not use their punter all day. It was like 13 drives and 13 scores. And even Gus said something about that. He goes, I don't think we stopped them. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Yeah. Well, when you're putting double digits on a football team in the NFL in every frame, you're going to the Super Bowl. And the Jaguars are not a great football team, but man, oh, man. I watch what the Patriots have done this year, and I don't know. If you want to call it, revenge of Tom Brady, you can do so. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know, because I haven't gone back to look at stats. I just don't have – I wish I had all the time to look what my mind tells me to look up, and I don't. But I can't remember Tom Brady having a great start like he has to this point in his career. And so this Deflategate just made him mad. And I don't know if you and I'll say this on your show, and I've said it on the Tom Brady's the best quarterback I ever played this football game. You don't want to make this guy mad. You just don't want to make this guy mad, because if he feels like he's got something to prove, he usually does. He proves it. And he did. He whipped off 51 on him yesterday.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, I absolutely agree, and it has nothing to do with me being a Michigan homer again. I've been a Brady fan since he's been at Michigan, but, biasness aside, there's nobody who has played the game the way he has as we go on a small Patriot.
Not a sixth-rounder. It's sixth-round out of Michigan, and this guy's going to be the best quarterback to ever – by the time it's all said and done,
yep.
He's going to be the best quarterback to ever play this football game. And you can go back and look at the history of all the greats, and it's no disrespect for him, but guess what? Tom Brady beats him out. And you want to say he's a cheater, you can go ahead. But you know what? If he was on your football team, oh, boy, you'd love you some Tom Brady. I know I would.
Yeah. Yeah, is it too late to try to engineer a trade maybe? Or we could send a conditional pick? That seems
maybe.
To be the popular thing.
Hey, Tom Brady will never play for another football team. That's gosh, that's almost unheard of nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and I would definitely love to debate that with you, because I have an argument to both sides of that. But instead, we will move on and try to find some positivity for Jaguar fans, because there are a lot of bridges in Jacksonville, and I really don't want the Navy to be that busy this weekend.
I don't know. I This week, you want to find the positives this week. You're right. Your key to last week is definitely they have to establish the run, and they have made a dedication to do it, and that is good, because then maybe if they have an opportunity. Now, the good thing is that you can score on Indianapolis, okay?
Yep.
But you got to move the ball down the field. So it goes back to the other thing that you just said, pressure onto the quarterback. If you do not get pressure on Andrew Luck, that is it. I mean, it is over. So the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to have to figure out how to get – they don't necessarily have to get to him. They just have to make him think that they will. That means get the bodies in the backfield deeper than 2 yards. And you can watch the Jaguars. And I'm sitting here watching as we're talking, and it's the thing that pops into my mind the most. As I watch this defensive line, no one gets off the ball in the backfield more than 2 yards.
Right.
You've got to get to the quarterback. If you don't get to the quarterback, you're going to lose. And so that is the key. And I don't – but here, just to put that on there, I don't think they're going to be capable of that, because when you have Andrew Luck, what do you have? You have an offensive line in front of him. I mean, he's the best quarterback – you know, probably the next coming of Tom Brady, the next superstar that's out there, there's an offensive line in front of him, and he's going to get protected. Now, that having been said, they have not played up to snuff this year, so if the Jaguars are going to do it, this is the week to do it, because I think they have an opportunity to put some pressure on him. But one thing that Andrew Luck is good at is throwing the ball on the run. So if they're not – you've got to get the quarterback, and you've got to keep him in the pocket, because if he starts to run and throw the football, the defense is going to break down and someone's going to be left wide open, and we're going to see that all day long, and that could be a problem for the Jags.
Exactly. My three keys to them being able to compete, for one, but two, beat the Colts first one I have was you have to limit Bortles' mistakes. If that means less shots down the field, if that means more shots, get him a couple early short throws, whatever it is to make him feel comfortable, because it seems like right before halftime in the past at least 2 weeks, maybe all year, right before halftime, he loves to throw a pick six. I don't know why, but it's just like he wants to get it out of his system, and he's like, hey, here's a good shot right before halftime. And it's like, there's never a good time to throw a pick six. But second thing on there, they have to find help for Allen Robinson. He is clearly the number one target out there, and Hearns sometimes will do it. Sometimes it's been a couple other people, but for the most part, all New England did was make sure that Allen Robinson was covered, and they didn't have to worry about him all day, let alone the rest of the offense. And then, like I was – early pressure on Luck, and he's actually a scrambler. He's pretty good on his feet, so you need to just hurry his decisions instead of making him scramble, because if you let him scramble, he'll turn into Russell Wilson and run for 80 yards on you.
Yep, got to keep him in the pocket.
Yep.
If you're gonna have to, and you got to tackle him in the pocket. If you're gonna get the sack, you're not gonna get a sack on the run really with Andrew Luck.
No.
Like you said, he's gonna run away from it. But so that's why I say if you're gonna get him, if you're gonna put pressure on him, you got to keep him in the pocket.
Yep, absolutely. And I mean, really, I think if they do those three things, they can at least make this thing competitive, because still the Indianapolis Colts are not a complete team here. They've been rebuilding for pretty much the entire Andrew Luck era. There's still a lot of holes on the defense. The offensive line is pretty solid, but they still have issues there. They have these – I mean, they brought in all these free agent weapons, but, you know, besides last week's Frank Gore big game, they really haven't gotten any production out of the new guys. So – this is the time to strike on a team like the Colts and kind of beat them down before they catch up to you.
I think if the Colts had the bad fourth quarter this last week, I think I would have agreed with you. But, man, it was something just went off in his head, man. I'm telling you, Andrew Luck figured it out at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Oh, that's what I got to do. I mean, he really did, and it was so obvious. If you watch the first three quarters of that football game and you've seen him, he looked – I mean, hey, how many interceptions has he thrown this year? I mean, he is a guy that you can beat, but, man, if he figures it out, that might be a problem.
Yep, and he is definitely it. I agree with you. I saw the fourth quarter of that game, and he has stopped being whatever version of himself he was – like I said, if you want to reference those crazy commercials, but he stopped being that Andrew Luck and decided to be the Andrew Luck. And then this is the best time for the Jaguars, because not only do you have a game against the Colts, which could actually help you, it could put a game and a half difference between you and the Colts in the division, but you got Tennessee on a bye week, so they're going to be paying attention to your game over the Houston game. And then Houston's running – they're going to be right outside my door at the Georgia Dome this weekend. So, I mean, you got a hot team like Atlanta who should be able to beat Houston, so you shouldn't have to worry about them. If you can beat Indianapolis, then you kind of propel yourself up a game and a half on the rest of the division.
Yeah, definitely. By the way, and I just found this out. And outside of Jaguars, the Panthers acquired Jared Allen from the Bears.
Yes, they did. That was I didn't even know he was on the block, but apparently the Bears have decided it was time to finally blow up the farm and move ahead.
And here's the thing, you know, the bad thing about that. Okay. The bad thing about that is that right there tells you where the Bears are for sitting as a franchise. Okay, mm-hmm. They're throwing in the towel at week three. Oh, that is huge. I mean, I don't want to say Jared Allen is, you know, the best thing to come along since fruit punch. Guy's getting up there in age. Okay, but that guy still can ball, and that is huge for the Panthers, I think, and it's for a draft pick in 2016, so it's going to be huge for them. So, interestingly enough.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the Bears are concerned, and I'm probably going to say the same thing on Thursday's Impact Media Show here, but, I mean, if they could get somebody to take Jay Cutler's salary, then they would literally trade him for a bag of donuts.
Yeah. And here's the thing, who else are they really going to get right now? Because the teams that have good quarterbacks aren't giving them up, and the ones that are available, God, you know, I don't know who's better, the ones that are out there, the rest of the field, or Jay Cutler. I don't know, but man, it's hard to defend the guy over there. I tried to defend him. I mean, I for the 2 years before last year, I was like, you know, this guy, you got to be able to protect him. But here's one thing about the Chicago Bears, okay? The Chicago Bears will get you the weapon, but they will get you the weapons in the wrong position, okay? They'll get you the wide receivers. But here's the thing. The offensive line is really not built for passing. It's built for running because they got Matt Forte back there.
Yep.
And Matt Forte can rip it off. But, man, you talk about, I mean, Jay Cutler, they might as well plant his butt in the backfield. I mean, my goodness. I mean, you can grow daisies off of his head. I mean, the guy is always on the ground. And so I think in part it's Jay's fault, but it's also in part the Chicago Bears' fault by not really finding the right personnel to protect the quarterback in the pocket.
Exactly. And as we'll kind of bring this all full circle for the last real point I was going to make this week, you know, the reason why the Bears stick with Jay Cutler is not just the contract. Like you said, it's who's out there that's better than Jay Cutler, what Jay Cutler can give you. Well, the Jaguars are in the same boat. If you know, for all the fans that are saying, hey, Bortles is not the guy, well, who are you going to go get? Matt Cassel just got traded to the Cowboys. I guess he might have been the only guy that was worth taking a flyer on, but now he's locked up. So you can't, you know, there's not really a better option than Bortles. If you fire Gus Bradley, who's out there? Mike Smith, maybe? That's like the only guy that come to mind that could step in who's head coach before, but he's got a similar scheme to Gus. They'd probably do the same thing.
Yeah, here's another thing. You probably only thought of Mike Smith because you do an Atlanta show. I would have thought, I wouldn't have even thought about him. So, you know, but here's the thing. I mean, Blake Bortles is only 23, okay? You really can't write this guy off yet. I mean, I know, as far as fans are concerned, you got to love them because they just want a winner. I mean, so, you know, but to throw away Blake Bortles right now, I think that might be the huge mistake. I mean, you're talking about the third overall pick in the 2014 NFL draft, okay? Yeah, the guy's got some skills. Let's see if they can take care of the other positions around him before you decide to put this guy in the dirt and decide to let him go.
Right. Well, I'm not saying it's time to move on from him. I'm just saying that they either
fans
need to do what they can to make sure that they – oh, yeah, there's a lot of the fans that are ready to pretty much call for his head. But as some recent news just come across the desk, I figure while we're here, we might as well update whether it's Jaguars or not. The Jaguars actually dodged two bullets so far. Obviously, they've already played the Panthers, so they don't have to play Jared Allen this year, and they don't have to play the Patriots again, who just acquired – former Chicago Bears linebacker John Bostic. So the Patriots defense just got that much better, and the Bears apparently have added a couple more picks.
Wow, I know the hit. I know about it. I read about it. I know they rep. But, man, you let Bostic go and you just give him to a Super Bowl contender? Oh,
I don't know the exact deals on it, but I would imagine the Patriots just simply gave him a draft pick for him because it didn't mention another player.
Yeah, they don't care. They'll figure out a way to make Bostic a great football player, and they'll be happy they got him on. Oh, man, that's so huge for the Patriots. God, the Patriots are not only the biggest cheaters in the NFL, but they're just the smartest football team as well. So, I mean, everybody wants to call them cheaters. I don't. I mean, when you play the game, okay, they tell you to cheat. Okay, so everybody, they shouldn't cheat. You know, Brett Favre, geez Louise. Brett Favre having something to say about the Patriots cheating is just the biggest joke I think I've ever heard. I couldn't believe he was out there talking about this. I mean, goodness gracious, if anybody, I won't even get into that, but that's just stupid. But, it is what it is. But, I mean, look at the Patriots. Yet again, going to take a guy that everybody just thinks that's just, average guy, watch him go over there being a superstar for the Patriots. Watch. At the end of the year, we'll be talking about this trade. And the Bears are blowing it up. Oh, my word, have mercy.
It is a fire sale in Chicago.
Goodness.
I got half a box of white cheddar Cheez-Its in the floor. Maybe I can pick up Matt Forte. I might have to call him up and see if I can do that. Ray Emery will probably, I think his name's Ray Emery, the GM.
Maybe he'll
do that because these are some pretty good Cheez-Its. So if I can part with those, maybe I can get Matt Forte on the roster.
Unbelievable. I feel so bad for that guy. Just like as much as I felt bad for Walter Payton before they got the Super Bowl. Such a good talent. Playing on such a horrible – and I'll say it because I'm a Chicago Bear fan and I can get away with it. Such a horrible, horrible organization when it comes to dedication to players.
Mm-hmm. Detroit's right up there, too, if you count the Bears.
Oh, yeah. They're up there. Mm-hmm. Yep, you're right.
But you got anything to any closing remarks as far as the Jaguars? I think we more than covered everything they got going on. But
yeah,
in case I missed something,
I say the Jaguars lose by 17. I hate to say it because I'm a fan, but I'm a realist fan. I say they lose by 17. This week.
Yeah, I've tried to argue myself the entire show since you said that earlier out of that, but. Unless they do the things we talked about and unless they fix a couple of the other issues, the Colts could start getting on a roll, and then it's you're playing for second or third easy.
Hey, by the way, okay,
yeah.
Will any of the deep threats for the Jaguars come back to the ball ever?
That is an interesting thing because Allen Robinson's such a good route runner that by the time he's trying to get through the initial route is usually when Bortles is getting hit. So I give him the pass. Allen Hurns is so fast that he's already down the field. They need to tell him to come back. But then Marquise Lee is the ultimate let's come back and see what Johnny Manziel's still doing with the ball. But
exactly.
He's been so injured, he's never been in the game.
I mean, man, I'm telling you right now, I don't want to, throw it. But, I mean, if the Cleveland Browns don't want Johnny Manziel to start for them –
it's worth a flyer, I think.
I think so, too. I mean, my gosh, that's what, it's not like the Jaguars have an identity or anything, right? It's not like, I mean, so they can throw him in, they can figure something out. I mean, they're not dedicated to anything, whether it's the run, whether it's the pass, or whatever the case may be. You know, there's nothing set, but that's obviously talking about taking Blake Bortles out of it. But how many football teams, man, I know Johnny Manziel, I get it, I understand, but the Browns not playing Johnny Manziel at the starting quarterback is one of the dumbest things I think I've ever heard. They got beat by Oakland, for God's sake. Okay? Johnny Manziel goes in, wins a football game for him in week number two. Okay? Granted, he didn't do it in great set, but the attitude of the football team with him in there is so evident. I mean, maybe it's me. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if you're watching the Browns.
Yeah,
you know, from week to week. But when you take a look at Johnny Manziel in the lineup compared to McCown in the lineup, I mean, who gives you the better chance to win? It's got to be Johnny Manziel because the team looks different when he is on the field.
Yep, I absolutely agree. And I know a lot of Jacksonville fans have mentioned to me, is it Tebow time? To which I say, I think that ship has finally sailed. I could be wrong, but I think in Jacksonville it has. But I've always had the case that Bortles – it's just like Matt Ryan here in Atlanta. Bortles has never had anybody behind him in the depth chart to push him to try to get better or to make less mistakes. To me, if you made a move for a Zach Mettenberger or a Johnny Manziel, like you're saying, you bring in somebody like that, he has to look over his shoulder and go, that guy can take my job if I keep playing this bad.
Absolutely. And there's something to be said about that. By the way, Bortles is a Florida boy, too. So, you know, they evidently had a crush on Bortles but didn't have it on Tebow when he came out. So, you know, there's another thing. I still don't understand the Tebow thing. I really don't. The best backup quarterback in the NFL is Tim Tebow. No one knows it but me. I'm not saying he's a great quarterback. I'm just saying he's the best backup in the NFL. And people like him. I mean, you know, they're going to criticize, oh, he can't go deep. He's a backup quarterback now. I mean, did you watch the Saints game? The backup quarterback over there, the other McCown? Okay,
Luke
McCown. Yeah, Luke McCown didn't throw the ball for more than 7 to 10 yards, okay? Tebow, same thing. But guess what? The Saints actually, I mean, McCown didn't play bad. I mean, get him in there. I mean, this crap that he can't go downfield, guess what? Just play to the guy's thing. The guy won a playoff game, and they act like that was nothing. I'm still missing that one. But unfortunately for him, it's 3 years removed now from that. So, you know, now you get that. It's been 3 years. What more does the guy go? Then you got Chip Kelly saying that he couldn't play for our football team. That didn't help him either. I feel bad for Tebow.
Yeah, the three quick things on that. For one, my argument to Chip is, well, it doesn't look like Sam Bradford's doing that much better anyway.
That's true, too.
And then as far as the short yard passers, Brady won a Super Bowl throwing 5 and 6 yard passes last year. And, of course, the Kansas City quarterback who's about to play here in a few minutes has made a living off of throwing 5 to 10 yard passes. I call it Kevin Cobb football, but since he's not in the league anymore, I guess it's Alex Smith football, where it's 5 to 7 yard passes, and they still light it up in the stats.
Yeah, man, that, you know, I love Alex Smith, and I love the Chiefs this year for some reason. Last year, I wasn't impressed with them. Year one, I wasn't impressed with them at all. And so just because I saw a fluke year out of, you know, Andy Reid, then the second year, I was like, yeah, that's what I expect. But, man, something tells me, this division over there in the AFC West, I mean, if the Chiefs are – it's hard to win in Arrowhead. It really is. But the last year you could. But if they get back to some semblance on what they normally do at home, it's hard to win in Arrowhead. They're playing in Arrowhead, right? Or are they on the road?
I am not sure on that.
Nope, they're in Green Bay. Yep, they're in Green Bay. So,
are they? Yep, they are.
Yep. So.
Yep. Well, who do you got in that before we get out of here?
You know what? I'm picking the upside in that game. I am going with the Kansas City Chiefs, and more in the fact that I just like what I've seen. Now, granted, you know, they've lost. I get it. And I understand. But I say this all the time. I don't care if a football team loses. It's the way they lose. Okay.
Right.
So if if you lose in a good way, and I know that's hard to say because, you know, losing sucks, but if you're doing things the right way and you can tweak it a little bit and get ready for the next week and put up a showing, that's okay. I'm not necessarily a fan of the Green Bay Packers, okay? And I, at the beginning of the year, said that this is going to be a football team that's going to be hard to make the playoffs. And I might have been wrong about that because Jordy Nelson was such a big, big thing. Now you put a lot of more, responsibilities back on Aaron Rodgers to try to win football games. And that, I don't think, is a winning combination for the Green Bay Packers. That being said, you look at the Lions, they're not playing good. It's the Bears. It's the Minnesota Green Bay. This is going to be a good division for those two football teams because I picked Minnesota to win this division.
I did until I saw week one, but if they're going to let Adrian Peterson run a majority of the time Bridgewater just throw occasionally here and there, then, yeah, they could easily win this division.
Yeah. So, but I am. I'm picking the and not because I want to be right about my pick, and this would be a good one for the Green Bay Packers to lose to make that work. No, Kansas City is doing stuff. They got Macklin in the wide receiver, you know, so him and Andy Reid are right there together. You know, they got that, you know, touchdown finally, you know, to a wide receiver, what they went all last year without. So they've got over those little bumps and bruises. Now it's time for them to move on, and this would be a very good win for Kansas City against a quality football team in the Green Bay Packers. So I am. I'm going on the limb. I went 13-1 and 14-1 this past week. So I lost the Miami game. The rest of them I picked. This one here, this was my upset of the week.
Yeah, Miami cost me a week two spot in elimination league. So I'm done backing them too. But
yeah,
I can't bring myself to go against the Packers right now, even though I agree with you, and I do think the Kansas City defense is good enough to stifle Rodgers. I feel like it's too early in the season for it to happen. I'm going to go Green Bay probably by 3 points or something.
See if that. I think a key is going to be to this. If Kansas City wins, is that they will put a lot of pressure on Aaron Rodgers. And as much as Aaron Rodgers is good, you don't want to see him running and throw the football. So if they get some pressure on him, that will be the reason why Kansas City wins this football game.
Absolutely. And Sonny, I appreciate you coming on Jaguar Zone. We got a chance to get into some other topics as well, which is always a good thing. It's good getting to talk to you again because it's been a long time since we've chatted since the indoor league. And from what I saw, a lot of the players that we all know have gotten married, some have moved to other places. But
yep.
I think they're looking forward to this season too. So appreciate you being on, and we'll try not to be strangers to each other so much and talk a little more.
Yeah, we'll see what ends up happening. It's business as usual in the off season. I'm doing high school football, then basketball, then right into indoor football. So I'm going to be busy for a while here. But just hit me up with the thing. If I can, I'll join you.
Definitely so, and you as well. And, of course, if anybody wants to catch any of your stuff, it's the Couch Potato Sports Show, not only right here on Blog Talk Radio, but at Couch Potato SS on Twitter. And are you Couch Potato on Facebook as well?
No, I got a Couch Potato. So I very rarely go into that, but if you go to my Facebook, just put my name in there. It'll say Texas Revolution. You know, that's me. But the website is thecouchpotato.wix.com/sportsshow. We just launched the website. As we're doing more and more of the play-by-play than shows right around this year. But a lot of work that I'm doing, which gets me away from my shows, but we're going to try to be on at least every Saturday so we can cover the NFL, and that's going to start this week.
Definitely. That's something we strive to do, and finally last week had all the shows on the right day at the right time, and so far this week we're right on schedule too. It's so hard to do, and a lot of people don't realize how hard it is to stay on schedule in the media world.
Yeah, in the media world when you got another jobs and other things that you're doing
right
up on top of it, yep.
But like I said, Sonny, it's been a blast getting to catch up with you and talk some Jaguars and breaking news and everything else. And I'll let you back to the rest of your night, and we'll enjoy some Monday Night Football.
You got it. You take care, my friend.
All right, we'll see you.
Yep.
And, of course, like I said, that was Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports, media, radio, everything. You think I'm busy. He does three times as much as I do. And that's not saying that I don't do a bunch. It's just between all the play-by-play he does for the high school Rowlett Eagles, does a great job with that, him and Bill Cerna. They're a great 1-2 punch. It was great having him on. But, you know, Jaguar fans, it is what it is. Last week was ugly. So far, we've had three different performances from the Jaguars in each of the 3 weeks. This is the week to strike. Tennessee's on a bye. Houston's playing Atlanta, which means there's a good chance they're going to lose. If you can beat Andrew Luck now and keep him from start getting hot, you got this division. And once again, it'll be Monday morning before you wake up, and the Jaguars could possibly not be in first place anymore. But this is a winnable game Sunday. This is the perfect time to strike. Hopefully they can do the things me and Sonny talked about. Hopefully Blake Bortles can step up, because, I mean, I don't want him to be the bridge to the next guy. I want him to be the guy. But I haven't seen it yet. Time will tell on that one. I think we're still going to do good this week. But that's going to do it for us on Jaguar Zone. Appreciate everybody tuning in. And if you downloaded, appreciate that as well. We will catch you guys next week. Go Jaguars.